This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
This is a special edition iFanboy podcast on Batman Bad Blood.
Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Cause baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, now we got problems. And I don't think we can solve them. You made a really deep cut. And baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, did you?
Welcome to Special Edition iFanboy Podcast on Batman Bad Blood. We've reconvened the iFanboy Animation Brain Trust. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. With me is Paul Montgomery.
On guard.
And Ryan Haupt.
That's me.
I panicked. I don't know why I said on guard. We haven't done one of these in a while.
It's been a while. A little rusty, a little strange, but we like to gather the team together to talk about these new DC animated original movies. This is some number in the series of them. And this is the first of the year. There'll be another one later on. We'll talk about that one at the end. Batman Bad Blood is another one of these shared universe stories. We've been getting a lot. We have had a lot of Batman ones. The last film, I think, was even Batman versus Robin, wasn't it? The last one we did?
It sounds right. Batman versus Robin, and then there's Batman and Son. It's all part of, I guess, maybe this is part of a trilogy, or maybe they'll do more of these.
God, I hope it is. So, this is...
Foreshadowing.
All right, so spoiler warning, if you haven't watched this, there'll be some spoilers. And so the general, as listeners will know, the general point of this line is to adapt comic book stories. This one is a very loose adaptation of not so much a single story, but an era of comics. It's that Batman Reborn era where Bruce was gone. And so we had the Dick as Batman stories.
So yeah, there's a bit of Batman RIP. There's Battle for the Cowl in there. There's even a little bit of Batman and Robin.
Right, Batman and Robin plus the Batwoman, the Rucka J.H. Williams book all happened at the same time. This is more of a way to sort of fuse all of those things together. When did Batwing first show up? Was it in that era or was it in the New 52?
I mean, well, this Batwing isn't that Batwing either.
Didn't he show up when Grant Morrison did his Batman Incorporated?
He did have a Batwing, and this isn't the New 52 Batwing because that's the one based in Africa, at least right. the way that started it.
So this is actually the current one. This is Batwing 2.
Yes. This is Smash Williams' Batwing.
Yeah, Lucius Fox's son, whatever Fox.
Yeah, he's in the army. He spent some time in Afghanistan, so he has some combat training.
Luke Fox. He's the current Luke Batwing. Fox. But so this is all the point of this is the source material for this particular story is a bit muddled.
Yeah. It also should be noted this one is scripted by J.M. DeMatteis.
Right, who did the last one. Who did Batman versus Robin, which I liked Batman versus Robin. I hated Batman in it. Batman and Son of Batman.
That was Joe Lansdale, right. I believe. There's also comics and some crime stuff. But
so what's interesting about this one is I saw, Paul, you were tweeting as you were watching.
Yeah, couldn't help it. I needed to share the experience with the world.
It was not a good showing, and so I popped this in, and I was like, oh great. So I would say for the first 30 minutes, I was like, you know, this isn't so bad. Mm-hmm. I'm into it. There's a couple of great sequences. I thought the opening sequence was really great, where Batman and Batwoman are both on the same case and they butt heads while fighting, and then Batman quote unquote dies in an explosion. I actually really liked that sequence a lot. And there was some stuff that happened in the beginning that was good, which we'll get to in a minute. And then I don't know when exactly it happened. I think it was around when they revealed the identity of the heretic. Was that
heretic,
his name?
Right?
And then it just flies wildly off the rails after that.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. You
can't see the rails anymore after that.
There's some exposition in here where it was like, what was it like in the studio when they had to record these lines? Because they're saying just some ridiculous, like, "I'm you from the future." It's like,
I tried to watch this on a plane. And like there's this weird thing that happens when you're on a plane where sometimes you're more emotional about movies. Like, it's
interesting. I've never been on a plane, so that's interesting.
As a scientist, it's not an easily quantifiable thing, but there's a whole Radiolab episode about
because
how,
of the
like,
pressure on your brain.
Yeah, it's or the lack of oxygen or the
so everything imminent, is heightened.
Imminent fear of death, like whatever it is, like people self-report that they are more likely to cry at a movie on an airplane than they are if they are watching that movie on the ground.
Okay.
And the moment we're talking about, the falling off the rails moment, is when I fell asleep.
So you agree with
like
that?
An hour.
Did you watch the end?
Yeah, I woke up and then was like, I had to rewind a little bit and rehear some of the Damien dialogue, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I didn't. Wasn't helpful anyway.
So you agree that the last third, at least to the one half to one third of this, is a disaster.
Yeah.
This was sort of I sort of had the opposite experience because I was like, I am not engaged with this. And then when they introduce the fact, they remind you that this is the Batman animated universe where Dick Grayson wears the ridiculous black T-shirt and gold chain.
Hate it. I mentioned this in a previous Animated Brain Trust podcast. I'll reiterate it now. Like, Dick Grayson, I know that Gotham is technically in New Jersey, but Dick Grayson is not from the Jersey Shore.
It's a very Jersey Shore kind of look. Black T-shirt tucked into pleated khakis with the belt, with the gold chain.
Listen,
looking like The Rock in the 90s.
Dick Grayson is the coolest guy in the DC universe, and there is no way he's wearing this outfit.
The performance itself isn't too bad. It's Sean Mayer.
No, he's fine.
He's fine. Once again, is it Jason O'Mara as Batman? Yes. The most boring Batman ever, possibly.
We've mentioned this before. I just feel like it needs to be said every time. I like him as an actor when he's a live action human being. He is terrible as Batman.
He is the most wooden.
This was his best performance to date, I will say.
He showed no emotion even in the foursome. He had a foursome in this movie, and he had no emotion.
Let's have a dream sequence where the Mad Hatter is tinkering with Bruce Wayne's mind, and in it, he has a foursome. He wakes up in bed with three women. One of them is wearing his mother's pearls, and he's like, whoa. And as an audience,
he's like, whoa.
Whoa.
the line reading you gave had way more emotion in it.
Well, Paul has a lot of experience.
So one thing that's happened to me since I've started doing the Goodfellas Minute podcast, which we'll mention at the end of this, is that I've taken more notes than I used to doing these things. And so I have a lot of notes on this film. I have in the good column, I have Dick as Nightwing and Dick as Batman. I liked both of those characterizations in this movie. I liked seeing the way they portrayed Dick as Batman with a different costume with a different voice.
Yeah, the different costume I thought was particularly an interesting choice.
But in the bad column, I have Dick as Dick. Because when he's in his civilian persona, that's when you have the outfit, and that's when everything just falls apart.
I found it a delightful train wreck in those scenes. And it's multiple scenes that he wears that outfit.
So he only has one set of clothes.
I just love the callback, because it was either in Son of Batman or Batman versus Robin, he wears that same outfit, and so
while talking to Starfire, like, it's the same premise too of the scene.
That scene was really weird because his introductory scene is he's Nightwing fighting Blockbuster, and the way they introduce that it is Blockbuster is they have a guy in the street running out of the way saying it's Blockbuster, and so Nightwing is talking to this woman on the phone, and I forgot
on
between
his
movies
douchey
that
Bluetooth.
He's. that he's dating.
What else are you gonna do while you're flying?
He's dating Corey, and that, so like the way that the context of that scene
dating?
Is that, well,
they're definitely sleeping together.
They're definitely sleeping together. I'm talking about, I miss like touching you or feeling you or whatever. And the context of the way it's written, it's like he's trying to hide the fact that he's Nightwing to this girlfriend who just knows him as Dick Grayson. And she's like, what's that sound in the background as he's fighting Blockbuster? He's like, oh, it's just construction work. And then at the end, you find out it's Corey, and you're like, why was he hiding that?
One of the things we mentioned...
That's an excellent point, Paul, because I had not thought about that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I was too busy caught up in the fact that... And we mentioned this during Batman versus Robin, because I got those notes in front of me as well, that the continuity of this is all screwed up. Because if this is, in fact, the New 52 continuity... And this is a problem happening in the comics as well. He should never have dated her in the first place.
Because
in the comics, she's portrayed as basically just having arrived on Earth.
So that was the thought that I had when they showed all of Nightwing's previous outfits in the Batcave. I'm like, wait, when did he go through the high collar disco era Nightwing phase?
Right. I don't think they're considering this New 52 continuity. I think it's New 52.
But they should consider it some kind of continuity in a way that makes sense, and they're not doing that.
Let's try to explain the plot of this film.
No.
So Batman blows up fighting the Heretic and a bunch of other really lame villains. And one of the notes I had was that...
The Electrocutioner.
I like Electrocutioner, let it be said.
I like Mad Hatter as a villain.
I love Mad Hatter.
In this film, I thought all of the villains, except for Talia, were uncompelling. So I didn't really care who they were.
I always like Mad Hatter.
Mad Hatter's a great villain, but you had Mad Hatter, Electrocutioner, Firefly... Black Mask, Blockbuster,
Killer Moth.
I just don't care in this.
Mask was super wasted. That he was messed up on drugs, but he was just wasted as a character.
There's so many of them that I just didn't care because none of them.
I want to see who's on the other dodgeball team that didn't pick both Killer Moth and Firefly.
I know, right?
So Batman dies fighting them supposedly, and Batwoman witnesses this. So Dick and Robin, Dick and Damian. And Alfred reconvene, and you know, there's no Bruce Wayne. He's been missing. No one's answering the bat signal. A brief cameo by Jim Gordon reveals he hasn't shown up anywhere. And was this the first time we've seen Jim Gordon in these films other than in the Batman Year One?
I think so.
And obviously in Dark Knight Returns, but in these continuity films.
This is definitely not Cranston Gordon.
Right. So Dick decides he's got to go out there as Batman. He and Damian go out there and fight crime. And then it's revealed that Talia is behind all this stuff because she's got a whole bunch of clones of Damian. And then...
But she's just got the one.
No, there's others.
They said that, but we didn't see it.
She's been messing around with cloning and mind control.
And then at some point, a little city flies.
Yeah, Bespin.
It was...
Bespin, the Cloud City, shows up.
At that point, I was just like, oh, God. Like, at some point, there's some massive, and Paul mentioned this on Twitter, some Jetsons-esque flying conveyance city
building. It looked like the Jetsons house. It looks like it's a saucer shape with kind of, like, rods on top and bottom. But then when you actually see it in the full, it does look more like a Bespin kind of thing. And again, it's CG. Stop writing vehicles into these features.
No more vehicles. They can only ride horses.
There was a car chase in this movie that was like, so there are two things that annoy me about these movies consistently. Mm-hmm. One is the physics of the fight scenes and the way that people are able to jump and hover and then kick while hovering.
Oh, that's comics.
Exactly.
I know.
So I'm saying that annoys me, like, but I have to, as soon as I'm into the movie, I don't care, right? Like, as soon as I'm lost in the story. But then there's the CGI vehicles, which takes me out of it every time. It doesn't matter because that car chase that happened was so fucking boring. There's not another car on that street. That city is deserted, and it's just two cars placidly driving after each other, and it's awful.
Like, I get you want to have the Batmobile in a Batman movie. It's a crowd pleaser. It's fan service. But they've gotten to a point. They actually got to a point where they were really bad in the beginning with the CG vehicles. I feel like they got better. Like, they at least sort of figured out what they could do and did it in a very minimal kind of way. And then they got worse again.
Mm-hmm. It's so
and
bad.
It's just, It's just like, stop writing them into the movie.
I watched the credits. I actually watched the credits of this movie, and there were about 24 people that worked on the CGI, if the credits are to be believed, relative to the hundreds of people that worked on the, you know, voice acting, the animation, and all that.
Well, yes. What is your point in there? In that?
I just did not. I mean, with enough effort, you could make the CGI.
There has to be, and I know in my day job, I'm starting to know more and more people in animation, and there has to be a reason for it. They're not just doing it aesthetically. There has to be either production reason or budget reason. I don't know what it is.
It's a very quick turnaround.
Yeah, but there's a reason they're doing it. It's not because they like how it looks. We just have to live with it. So the story ends with Bruce being rescued, and at some point he doesn't realize who he is, and then it ends and everybody's happily ever after. I don't remember. Yeah, they all go off to fight crime together. So it was bad.
It's a weird-ass movie.
What really bummed me out about this is that I was thinking back. I put this on my shelf with all the other ones I've got, and I was looking at all of them. I was thinking about how excited we used to be for these. And they're still capable of making good ones. We all could not have loved JLA Gods and Monsters more. Mm-hmm. I liked the last one of these in-continuity Batman films, but I hated the one. I hated the two before that. I hated the Suicide Squad one, and I hated Son of Batman. But on a whole, it's such a mixed bag that I have a hard time getting really excited for them because, like, if it's a one in continuity, there's better than good odds that I'm going to dislike it. And it never used to be that way. Even the bad ones before were pretty enjoyable.
Well, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
These are just boring.
It's boring. It just feels boring. Very uninspired, and the pacing in this one was very strange. Like when they rescued Bruce, it felt like it was the end, and I was like, oh, that was kind of quick. That felt short. And then there's like this whole other
half an hour left. I paused, and that's the moment
I fell asleep. I woke up with 27 minutes left in this movie. Because I checked, because I'm like, oh, what lost me? And it was that moment. Like, there's clearly this pivot point where the movie just fails to deliver any sort of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me go through the list of things I found good about it. You can feel free to make fun of me. All right, here we go. The opening sequence I thought was fun. I like seeing Batwoman on screen. I think she's a great character, and it was nice to see her realized. And I thought that Yvonne Strzelczyk-Giski did a really good job with her.
I think she did okay.
As good as listen, this is we're on a sliding scale here. We're like grading on a curve.
As the script provides, this is a thing that came up on Twitter I mentioned. The sequence where she's in the bar with Renee Montoya should be awesome. When I saw Renee Montoya in the credits list, I think I was looking at IMDb, and so before she even appeared on screen, I was like, oh cool, we're gonna see the two of them together. That's gonna at least be cool. A little bit of fan service and fun, and it was just, it felt weird to me. I don't know if that's in character for Kate Kane though, so I don't feel like I've read enough of Batwoman post Rucka to say whether that's out of character or not, but it just seemed like
nervous and flirty, and
it just seemed like no one consulted actual lesbians to see like what the flirting should be like, or consulted an actual human being as to how people interact. It just felt like people who've watched movies where people have flirted, and bad movies at that. Like
it was just like
cops aren't supposed to be as hot as you. Oh my god, did I say that out loud? Like, that's such a bizarre thing for Batwoman to say, even if you want to say, oh, she's military and she isn't very social and stuff, and she had no socialization or what, and not to say that every military person
this character hasn't.
But I'm saying this character is very like, and given her past, like she'd be someone driven like Bruce Wayne. But then look at Bruce Wayne, you know, very capable when talking to other people.
In this particular world, I would like to have a drink with you.
Yeah.
So let's move down my list.
Well, no, wait, real quick. I want to comment on Paul's thing.
Because I was going to get to this, but fine.
Okay.
Get to what?
On the good side is Montoya! Exclamation point, because she's a character who's completely disappeared from my world.
Yeah.
And so it was nice just to see her, that she exists somewhere in reality.
She was fine. She was presented well.
She was good.
That's not what I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, to counter her awkwardness with Renee, I enjoyed Kate's interactions with her dad.
Yes.
Which is why I was super annoyed when somehow they brainwashed her dad, because that was totally unnecessary and served no point other than to undercut their relationship, which I thought was a highlight of the movie.
I thought that was woke. I thought I liked him as well.
I liked his performance. I feel like the character design, the way he was animated, he had this weird thousand-yard stare even before he was brainwashed, and that bugged me a little bit. But I like those two in theory. So that.
But I like that in his first scene, you know, in his first scene, it's one of those where you learn a lot about the character without it having to be super expository, and these movies have gotten, I think, more expository. And okay. So, you know, the fact that he's pouring bourbon into his coffee and Kate's like, oh, your doctor's enough to do that. And he's like, well, whatever, I don't care. And then, you know, he's like, I thought you would find a nice girl to settle down with. And to me, that's like a moment of decent writing where you're learning about both characters in the way that they're interacting with each other rather than them just talking to the screen at you, the viewer.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the scenes with them together. I agree with you. All right. Moving on, I like the classic two-handed Alfred. Because all I can have is awful one-handed Alfred.
Who did the voice? Because I didn't love the. Is it James, the same guy who's done
James
it?
Garrett. He was a little huskier, a little.
Yeah, it was super stiff.
Although I liked. On this list, I also have Grumpy Alfred. I liked Grumpy Alfred.
I liked. Don't bring a knife to an Alfred fight.
Yes,
he had a cool moment when everybody is fighting at the end. Alfred is he steals the show.
He actually gets a nice little sweeping leg kick there, and then some boxing.
Yeah,
I liked.
I was like, all right, like Alfred isn't just in distress the entire time. He's a capable without going the complete other direction where he's like a black ops soldier like he is in what is it, Earth. Earth 1?
Earth 2.
Yeah, he's,
Earth 2.
He's simply capable. Right.
And now I'd also like to call out the dumb joke, Nunjas, which made me laugh.
That was good.
I think I was desperate for a laugh at that point.
But I think in the preview, so I think I already said so.
I don't remember the previews.
I think when stuff like that comes along, like the rest of the story is so leaden that like any joke is a relief and like you can get away with like terrible jokes like that and they actually become good jokes.
I liked the Dick Damian dynamic. I mean, I liked that in the comics. I thought it was fun here. I thought the Batman Nightwing fight was really great at the end. It was nice to see them both get the upper hand at one point, but of course Batman ultimately winning because he should.
Mm.
Mm.
What do you mean? Mm?
Just saying,
no one beats Batman.
Okay.
Certainly not his kid.
I don't know if anyone could.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I liked for a minute Dick had the upper hand, because if anyone's going to get the upper hand, then him temporarily it'll be Dick. And then the thing I like the most, which I don't think we should talk about till the very end.
Okay.
Which I think you know what I mean.
I don't know.
All right.
Well. I don't know.
Oh, the very end.
Yes.
Okay. I'm of several minds about that moment, actually. Let's just, since we've broached the topic.
Okay.
At the end, you know, just to show that everybody's on the same team again and nobody's brainwashed, we have a bat signal go up. And everybody heeds the call. So you've got Batman, you've got Robin, you've got Nightwing, you've got Batwing, and you've got Batwoman.
Right.
All showing up to the bat signal.
Mm-hmm.
And they go after, and they get involved in a
penguin.
Car chase. The penguin. And that looks cool.
Old school penguin, like shooting machine guns out of a car penguin. Yeah,
from his umbrella, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, so they fly off and like, wow, that's kind of like, a lot just for the penguin in a car chase.
That's what I thought too.
He's going to get a really bad beating.
Happening.
Like Batman could probably handle that on his own. Maybe even the cops themselves. The Gotham PD, I feel like, are not getting their due. And like, yeah. I think with.
Like maybe Nightwing should go back to Bloodhaven.
I think it's a little bit of overkill. And then pan over, and I guess you're in the Burnside district of Gotham because you see the yellow boots and like, oh, that's exciting. So you get the new depiction of Barbara Gordon as Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
So basically this would be her introduction because we've never seen this version of Batgirl.
Why in this movie would you do that?
And also
I have
just
thoughts
like,
on that. The,
why does she feel like she needs to in a world where there's basically an Iron Man, Batman in Batwing and a Batwoman and all of this? Like, so what's her deal where she feels like she needs to contribute, honestly?
Did you guys, real quick, Nightwing starts off this movie in Bloodhaven. Did you guys see Kurt Busiek's Twitter rant on the name of that city?
No. Well, yeah. Why?
It was fantastic. It was all about how like no one would ever name a city that. All
right.
How,
well, it's 20 years at this point, so he's gonna have to accept that's the name of the city.
it's bad.
There are worse names than cities.
I accepted it during my formative Nightwing years, you know, with Scott McDaniel on art. But Kurt's rant made some points that I agreed with. Just letting people, if they're
just,
not following,
just saying that it's an absurd name.
I would rather Bloodhaven than Coast City, Central City. Cities whose names are very on the nose.
It's got an umlaut, Connor, so it's Bloodhaven.
It didn't in the graphic on screen.
It did not, but in the actual, I guess this is a separate continuity from the New 52 continuity, but it should be an umlaut.
Anyway, I really liked seeing her because I don't think we'll see her again. So I just liked that little, it was just a little Easter.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you think we'll see her again?
We're going to get to that at the end.
Well, I love Batgirl. I love that costume. So I think it was really cool to see it. And I don't want to be like, with all these characters, the world doesn't need a Batgirl. The world very much needs a Batgirl. But in that particular situation, it just seemed odd to just sort of throw her in at the end. It just felt like sort of like a too little, too late kind of thing.
So you're just bitter you didn't get the Batgirl movie. That's all.
Not yet. Not that the story itself, not that this particular caper would have benefited from another Bat person, but... Because I think my main criticism of this, other than it being boring, is that you have Batwoman and Batwing get an introduction in this movie, and they kind of, you know, are over in the margins compared to what else is going on. I felt like Batwoman was reasonably fleshed out.
What did you guys think of Batwing?
Batwoman more than Batwing, but like Batwing feels like, you know, why even bother?
Batwing,
like,
was a tack on for sure. I thought Batwoman was almost the main character of the movie. She had the most interesting stuff going on. We got a bit of her, a backstory. We didn't get her exact origin of where she put on the suit, but we got enough of her origin as a person, the trauma in her life.
I was surprised that we got the flashback to, you know,
the
kidnapping,
the abduction. And then they mentioned the West Point thing a number of times, which is, it's interesting that that's like still her continuity in a world where Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't exist anymore. That's kind of, it's cool. Like, I like it, and it informs her character.
So it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, 10 years from now.
Interesting anachronism. Like, I think it'll be the equivalent of Steve Rogers being declared 4F. You know, like if you know enough about the history, it'll make sense. Yeah, I hope that that's what it persists as, because I think that it's an important facet of who she is.
Right. Well, that was one of my notes, was who is the main character, because.
The main character is Batman, because every conversation is about Batman.
Right. Well, but the thing is, he's gone for most of the movie. So the case can be made it was Batwoman, but really I think it was so splintered that there wasn't really a main character.
Well, and the thing that annoyed me about him being gone the whole time was that there was, based on the opening sequence, there's no reason to believe that a human being could have survived what happened.
He's not a human being. He's Batman.
I know that. I know that. I'm with you. But that's what annoyed me a little bit, was just that everyone who knew him assumed that, like, well, he probably figured out a way to not explode.
It's like you've never read a comic book in your life.
You want my one note that Connor's not going to like?
Works.
If I were looking over the script and be like, what do you suggest, Mr. Montgomery? I'd be like, cut the first scene.
All right. Well, I liked it. I'm saying it's necessary to the plot.
I would because there's the bit where Batwoman comes back with them and she says, I was there that night, and she sort of like, you don't need to have seen that scene. Like, she tells you about it.
Couldn't you cut the scene where she explains it instead and leave the kick-ass action sequence?
I think you make
it was a good action sequence.
I think it's held down by limitations of what they can do in the animation, and like Ryan is proving that by saying, I had this problem with this. So if you don't show it, it can be anything in your mind. It makes it more mythic that the Batman disappeared.
Well,
so I'd start like news reports that Batman is gone. And
well, that's just changed. I don't necessarily disagree that if the story should have been completely overhauled from the.
I mean, I literally needed just a half a blip of something that Batman was doing that I could have then plausibly understood as him surviving the explosion. So, like, even if, because all we saw was the explosion from Kate's perspective, and even if we flashed inside the building for a moment to see Batman reaching for something in his utility belt or flipping his cape around him, that would have been enough for me to be like, okay, so Bruce did something to survive.
Well, this is the other way. This is the Paul's suggestion, which is don't show it so that whatever you imagine in your mind is cooler than whatever actually happened.
Yeah, you Two Towers it. You remember the beginning of the Two Towers where it was showing the Balrog fight with Gandalf from outside the mountain. So you do the opening credit sequence outside of Ace Chemical or wherever the hell that is, and you show Batwoman escaping, but not Batman escaping. And you can do a little bit of theater of the mind with, you know, like outside the factory and not show that. And then later on, you can flash back to Batwoman as she experienced it. So maybe not get rid of that scene, but just do it out of sequence. You could actually show some of, you know, Batman involved in the fight and then, you know, the explosion and stuff. And I don't know. I just think there's more, like, we're saying how boring and weirdly paced this is. I think there are ways that you can, you know, reconfigure it to make it a little bit more mysterious and more engaging that way.
All right. So we have any other thoughts on this, or should we move on to the future?
Let's talk about the future.
All right. So in the near term, I assume both of you guys watched this digitally.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So neither one of you saw the featurette on the next film.
That's correct. That's the one thing I miss about when I rent these now.
Do you know what the next film is?
Is it Titans?
Yes, Justice League vs. Teen Titans.
Right, okay.
Okay, so first of all, my initial reaction when I heard this was, oh, that's interesting because I love the Teen Titans. Then my second reaction was, oh, shit, it's not going to
be... Oh, shit, I love the Teen Titans.
Yeah, it's not going to be the Teen Titans I want. So it's not... The Teen Titans. It's not the original lineup. It's not.
So you want the Marv Wolfman?
If I had my druthers, it'd be Aqualad, Wonder Girl, Robin, and Speedy. But it's not going to be them. It's not going to be Marv Wolfman's new Teen Titans. It's going to be
new. It's not the new Teen Titans.
It's a team based on the newer cartoons. So it's
Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, that lineup. So it's Robin, Raven, Changeling, and I realize that they're all from that team, but it's not that dynamic. It's the dynamic from Teen Titans Go.
Cyborg.
Cyborg's in the LA. Well, because it's Justice League versus Teen Titans, so Cyborg is there.
He hangs out
with them because he's the youngest member of the Justice League, and he feels more in common with the Teen Titans. Anyway.
So who's the full Teen Titans
team? It's Robin, Raven, Changeling, Starfire, and I wonder if we're going to mention the fact that she's nailing Dick. Cyborg.
I prefer Beast Boy to Changeling.
Robin, Changeling, yep. Cyborg, Raven, Starfire.
Which Robin?
It's Damian. It's always Damien. It's never not Damien. That's my note. If I had a time machine, people always say, if you had a time machine, would you go back and kill Hitler? No. I would go back and I would tell Grant Morrison not to bring back Batman's son because it was fun for a little while and now it has ruined the Bat universe. They cannot get rid of him. They cannot get rid of him. They can't.
In that movie of you going back in time, it would end up being the butterfly effect of you going back to Grant Morrison. He'd be like drunk or high or something. He'd be like, don't bring back Damian, Batman's son. And then he'd wake up the next morning and be like, I've got an idea. I think I'm going to bring back.
Well, then I'd have to go back and kill him. And I don't want to do that because I like his comics. But they can't now get rid of the biological son of Batman. You can't do it. And
Do you think the bad of Damien,
outweighs the good stories?
Because there are some really good Damien stories.
Great, but from now until infinitum, when I'm dead, he's going to be there.
Yeah, I pretty much.
We're never going to get another Tim Drake Robin story. We're never going to see him in one of these movies. It's Damien forever. But now, in the midst of all that angst, I'm thinking
Terry McGinnis?
Well, hold on. No, we don't. No. So, in the midst of all of that angst, it's revealed the writer of this film is Brian Q. Miller.
Oh.
So now I'm actually very excited because
All right.
Listeners may not know or may know, probably know, may not. Brian Q. Miller is a screenwriter and a comic writer. He wrote the fantastic Stephanie Brown Batgirl series, and he also has written
Damien.
Which he was great at Damien, so.
Yeah.
And he also wrote some of the best Smallville and episodes. He wrote the best Flash this season. Yeah. He's a really great writer. So once they had him, and he was featured as a talking head a lot in the featurette, and he was funny, and the things he said were smart, and I was like, well, shit, now I am excited. What's going on? So I'm excited for this one only because the writer's great.
Him on Teen Titans, that's a very good match. I like that a lot.
Right.
And if you have to have Damien, get one of the only two writers in the world who have written good Damien stories.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're not going to get Grant Morrison and
Brian Q. Miller. That's it.
That's totally
Tomasi never had any good Damien?
No one ever really got the got the voice right, other than Frankie Miller and Morrison. That was really, and I think Paul and I agree with
that. I love Tomasi. I don't think
it's a different Damien. It's a different.
Any of the Damien stories I've read have been, you know, anywhere close to Morrison or what Frankie Miller did.
Now here's the question.
Yeah.
So these movies were all telling tales of classic DC stories, different kind of characterizations, old costumes, and then they had the Flashpoint movie, and then they switched over to New 52 costumes and characterizations and kept the actors all the same, except for when they do the random out-of-continuity films, which is usually just one out of three. With the New 52 ending in a few months, that seems to say to me that we will also be ending these shared universe films. And I don't have anything to base that on other than hope beyond hope, because the joke was it's going to follow the arc of the comics, and it ended up following the arc of the comics. They had the symbolic film that changed the universe, and then they went forward with the shared universe. Now that it's going away, do we think that that's also going to go away too?
I'm going to say yes, but it's going to take a while because you're going to need some lead time.
Sure. We didn't have the Flashpoint movie until well after the Flashpoint happened.
The problem I see is they tend to adapt, at this point, storylines from the comics. And even if they abandon the New 52 shared universe continuity stuff, what stories are we realistically hoping that they will start adapting?
Hold on. First of all, it took 2 years after Flashpoint actually happened until we got the Flashpoint film. So we're looking at two more years.
Fine, but my point stands. Like, what do you guys even want to see? Like, I think I would want to see Jean's
just variety.
We're just looking for the variety to return.
Yeah, but the variety has to come from the source material of the comics, and have there been comics in the pre or post
New 52? We want them to go back to the old way of doing whatever they wanted.
But what stories are they going to do then?
Whatever.
Like, are they going to create original content, or are they going to keep adapting comic stuff, in which case I feel like there's a lack of opportunity.
No.
What are the, like, okay. All right, pre-52. So we'll see. We'll see Green Lantern.
I would say classic stories, and I would say hope beyond hope. I would love to see them do original content. I'd like things like, you know, Gods and Monsters, which is not based on anything. It was, I mean, now that's a Bruce Timm thing, but I wish there was someone else like a Bruce Timm, or give Brian Q. Miller. Say, Brian Q. Miller, what do you want to do? And, you know, have them generate something new and original, and maybe even take cues from the live-action TV shows.
Well, that's supposedly what the new universe is going to do anyway, so maybe that's what will happen. My point is, I don't like this particular world where we've been stuck in for 2 years with the same actors, and a lot of them aren't great. And the thing that was so great about the films before was the variety. What is it going to be? What is Batman going to be like in this movie? Who's playing him?
This time he's James Woods.
You know, I really liked hearing Kyle MacLachlan's version of Superman just as much as I liked Tim Daly's, because they were different kind of characters.
Or Sam Daly.
And now we just get the same guy playing. You know, Jerry O'Connell's fine, but the reason why I liked it so much in the first place is because of the variety of work. So that's what I'm hoping. And if they don't want to be here where we are anymore. And it can't really be any worse, in my opinion.
Will I ever get Superman Red Son the movie?
That's what I hope. That's my hope for you, Ryan.
That's what I want.
And for me as well. For me and for
you. It'd be a lot of fun.
Fingers crossed to see if they do that. I can't imagine they won't leave this world if the comics do, at least, you know, in a couple of years.
And I also don't know how well these perform compared to other ones. Like, do they feel like we've got a good thing here, we should keep Jason O'Mara and continue doing Batman stories? It's just my other hope is that the kid who plays Damian, his voice is going to change soon, so we can't do Damian anymore. That's my
Paul,
hope.
You get in this time machine with me, we go to Scotland 10 years ago.
I'm with you, man.
And we just plead. We offer anything. Don't bring him back. It's going to be awesome for a couple of years, and then it's going to ruin everything.
It's
going to
work against you guys. You can't, the butterfly effect.
I don't care. It's going to go wrong. As long as it stops.
It's not going to stop. You're going to come back and it's going to be worse.
How can it be worse?
We have a noble and honorable and glorious intent.
In the name of Tim Drake.
That's all. I miss Tim so much.
It's really interesting that a character so popular as Tim Drake, and he was super popular. His book ran for over 100 issues. And they have decided, in lieu of Damian, they're just going to write him off as a character. It's really interesting.
So Connor, yes. I have a question. And you've clearly been dealing working through these issues.
I need to start drinking, yeah. What's up?
My question is, on the regular Pick of the Week podcast, you've mentioned, you know, Batman problems. Are you airing these grievances right now? Is this what we're hearing?
I'm airing a lot of grievances. This is my Festivus episode.
I'm into it. Because, like, the second you said, I've got problems with Batman in the comics, I was like, I want to be in on that conversation. So
my problem with in the comics is very similar to what we've just been talking about. I think he's forever altered as a character with the introduction of Damian. They tried to kill him off, and realistically, that should have shattered him as a character even worse than when Jason died.
Or when his parents died.
Yeah, but I think it's different when you're a child and you lose something as an adult when you lose your own child. I don't know. I haven't lost either, but that's what I assume. Anyway, the problem is you can't just kill him off because he's his biological son. It'll irrevocably change the character. So what do? You can't. The only thing they could have done is wiped him out in the reboot, which they didn't do. So they have got one more chance. This is their last chance, is to wipe him out in this next thing that happens. And
yeah, I think you just have it's got to be a tabula rasa kind of thing.
Just never like happened.
Just don't do it.
I don't think it will, because there's already rumors he's going to be, just like the movie we're about to see, he's going to be leading the Teen Titans. So, Morrison, I love him. One of my favorite creators did the thing that I thought impossible. He completely changed Batman in a way that cannot be undone. And it's sort of depressing for me as a Batman
fan. And I mean, Damian leading the Teen Titans, like, it's obvious that for a long time they just do not know what to do with Damian. But, right, like, leading the Teen Titans also just makes no sense for that character.
Yeah, so he's not a leader in that way.
And he also hates other people.
He does, yeah, he hates his peers. And, like, you can mine some humor out of that, but, like, feasibly on an ongoing basis, it doesn't make sense for Damian to be part of a group like that.
Right. The fact that no one else in the Teen Titans has undergone the training and the rigorous level of personal perfection that he's gone through would mean that he would never trust them as members of his team, which is why he works in the context of the Bat family.
And it would also suggest that Damian have some kind of personal growth and change as a character, and you kind of, you know, that doesn't exist. Like, that's just kind of, he's stuck.
Yep.
I did like Morena Baccarin, I don't know how to say her name, as Talia.
It's Talia. That did work, like, because she did it kind of, like, it was very cold, and also a lot of her humor worked for me. Just the absurdity of the thing she was saying, just flatly, that felt right. It's a completely ridiculous character, and then, like, I love that she's, like, jumped to her death, but not really.
Yeah, that was super weird.
It was kind of a fun moment. I just like how dramatic that is.
So the sound effect of that vehicle was clearly ripped from a Star Wars soundboard, right? Because it was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I do remember feeling that. It does sound.
That was a Star Wars vehicle.
That was.
She jumped between.
They went into the archives for that one.
Okay.
While we're all here, can we talk about very quickly this Justice League action show?
The new one that looks like it's for tiny children.
For tiny children. It's for 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's for 2 to 11. That's the age group there is for.
Yeah. Too young for me, thanks.
We're not 11 anymore?
Nope.
Okay.
The kids are allowed their entertainment. That's all I'll say to all the nerds who are freaking out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's cool that Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill are coming back, but, like, I just saw the character designs and was like, oh, well, that's not for me.
No, you get these. These are for you. These have sex and blood. It's fine. And rock and roll.
I'm fine with it.
I don't want rock and roll.
Well, you can watch it, Paul. No one says you can't watch it.
Do you want that old-time rock and roll? Just take that music down off the shelf?
Yeah.
Listen, we're getting to a point with these, and I still watch them, and I don't want to stop. I'm really just curious to see if they're going to actually change along with the comics. That the things that are so different that I'm not interested in comics are happening to these movies, and that's a bummer. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I'm feeling similarly, Connor, and I didn't know that this would come up in this.
This is turning into a therapy session.
It is a little bit therapeutic because, like, I go into these every time, you know, fresh off of the idea that I will love it. And then I fall asleep. And, like, I don't like that about myself, but what do we do? You know, I want to like these so hard that when they disappoint me, it hurts me.
In the middle of that, I thought, maybe I should just rewatch Under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just do that.
Which famously is one of the ones that I didn't like as much as the two of you.
Which,
but
you're crazy,
because
that's like everyone's favorite one.
I'm the odd man out. It has been thus since Neesman left me.
You can insert here your favorite. Insert here your favorite one for that.
I really liked the Crisis on Two Worlds.
That's a good one.
Also a good one.
Wonder Woman is a really
Wonder
good
Woman,
one.
I rewatched Wonder Woman recently. It's still very good.
I liked All-Star Superman, even though my then-girlfriend, now-wife, did not. And many on the iFanboy message boards suggested not staying with her for that.
I was also with them.
Yeah, well, you came to the wedding.
Thanks
you
for not mentioning that at the wedding, by the way.
You consecrated I mentioned other things that you said.
I know, but not that one. That would have been awkward.
I want everyone to know Connor was in my vows.
I was.
Not name, but in quote.
So, yeah, that's where we are right now. This movie was weird and boring and strange and not in a good way. And next...
It is boring.
Justice League vs. Teen Titans actually I have a lot of hope for because of Brian Q. Miller.
That's a big thing. That's no small thing that he's involved in it. And so hopefully he gets to, you know, do him and, you know...
What's the first Teen Titans book you read, Paul?
What's the first Teen Titans book I read?
Like historically?
Yeah. Because for me, like, I know that it might be sacrilege to somebody like Connor, but, like, the Geoff Johns Teen Titans run is my Teen Titans run, because that's what age I'm.
I never got too deep into stuff, but I guess Johns would probably be my introduction to it.
Yeah.
Like the Johns era is very formative to me in terms of DC.
I'm just teasing the listener, because I want to make it clear that you and I are coming at this from a very different place than Connor.
I mean, but when I think of the Teen Titans, I think of the Wolfman stuff. Like,
ooh,
that's
interesting.
I feel like that.
Right.
Like, the,
so,
I think
so we're all coming at it from different places.
Yeah.
Of course, the one after that is supposedly, but there's been no discussion of it officially, is that it's the Batman the Killing Joke adaptation.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
I mean, we're the brain trust. We can't be swayed by it.
But they've confirmed that that's in the pipeline, right?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, so it's we just don't know if it's the one after or
right.
if it's
or if there's a release date.
So it is going to happen.
Is it though?
Yeah.
That's like that's they just introduced Batgirl. Now they're going to shoot her in the spine.
No, it will be an out of continuity one. Just like
it'll be an out of continuity one. That's big money. People love that story. It played a role in the most recent Batman Arkham game.
Yeah, that's going to be out of continuity. Like you know, year one and Dark Knight.
I didn't play that game because everyone said it was terrible.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, so it is, they are still pushing that story. It's not one of my favorites.
Next week for the video game animated brain trust discussion of Batman new game.
And that's what it all comes down to. We want these to be good for the sake of we want to enjoy them, but the big thing is we want them to be good so we can continue watching them and then talking about them together. That's the thing. It's like, if it weren't for you guys, I probably would have quit these a little while ago.
We tried to do a Marvel one, people.
That looked really interesting.
Right.
Remember that Marvel one we did?
The Marvel one was a mistake. We all could agree that was a mistake.
What was the Marvel one?
The Black Widow Punisher.
Oh, Jesus.
You see, you blocked it out like I had. I had also forgotten about that, and Ryan said it, and for a second I was like, what is he? Oh. I forgot we threw the Marvel fans a bone, and it was a goddamn disaster.
Didn't we do something on Planet Hulk?
I think we might have been way
back. The one with Beta Ray Bill?
Planet Hulk. That was okay. Beta Ray Bill. We had to do it for your Beta Ray Bill obsession.
Beta Ray Bill. That was, you know, that was pretty cool. Not that I've revisited it since then, but anyways.
I'm just looking. We did a... Did we? I'm looking at
We definitely
at our
did
old...
Planet Hulk, and then we did the Black Widow thing, and
we
that was
Planet
the...
Hulk
that was
podcast?
The yeah, we
I
did.
Don't know. I feel like I remember talking about it.
We did
but
a
then,
book explode on Planet Hulk, which was a review of the book.
Maybe we talked about the animated thing with that.
No,
I don't know. I don't remember.
I wasn't on that.
All right, listen. You dig that up, Ryan. If you're so sure it exists, I'm not so
sure. I remember looking for
Connor,
that.
Connor, you wrote a review of Planet Hulk on the website.
That was it then.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. This is all great right. radio. Guys.
Yeah. All right. So that was Batman. What was it? Batman Bad Blood.
More like Bad Blood Haven, am I right?
Blood. And then we'll be back in the spring, according to the featurette for Batman Justice League versus Teen Titans. Until then, you can find me every week on the iFanboy Pick a League podcast, where we talk about the week's comics, and also find me over at goodfellowsminute.com, where we review the film Goodfellows 1 minute at a time. Paul, where can the people find you?
You can find me over at panels.net. You can also listen to the O Comics podcast every week with my co-host, Preeti Chibber. And also, there was a fun one just this week. You might have to wait a few days for it to be out by the time you're listening to this. But I talked to Declan Shalvey and Jordi Belair about what they're up to. And kind of like when you interview them, like you just sit back and let them do their thing. But we talked about they have this really cool art scholarship. Like you can come and be their intern, and they'll pay for you to come from somewhere in the world if they like your application and portfolio. So it was real fun catching up with those two. So yeah, check that out.
If I have to watch one more of these bad ones, I might go be their intern. I'm going to Ireland. Fuck this. Ryan, where do people find you?
I'm at ryanhaupt.com and on Twitter as @haupt. I do a podcast called Science Sort Of, where we have similarly impassioned conversations. Instead of animation, they're about science. And so if that sounds like something that would be of interest to you, go check it out. I'm kicking around the idea of a animated podcast supplement to this one.
Wait, you're going to do an animated podcast? That's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, we've hired a team. Please go to our Kickstarter that doesn't exist. No. We're kicking around the idea of doing an episode-by-episode podcast based on a DC animated show, and that's all I'm willing to say at this point. So please follow me on Twitter to check out updates on that as it comes forward. But I'm going to predict that by the next time we do one of these animated Brain Trust episodes, even if it is our last one because we're all fed up, I will have something new to announce. But in the meantime, check out Science Sort Of, because that's where you'll get all of the science that I have to preach each and every week.
Well, I feel good. I feel like I got a lot off my chest.
I feel like you needed to. Like, I've been hearing you for the past couple of weeks on the podcast talking about your bat
angst
stresses.
Bat angst, bat stress. I feel I have more. I feel like this is a good first step, but I have a lot more to talk about.
You got to clear that belfry out, man.
Oh, boy, it's rough. It's rough. But we'll talk about that another time. Maybe on another podcast we'll get...
And we are your Robin.
We'll delve more into... So, interesting. So that makes... Paul has to be Tim. Are you...
My dick?
Does that mean you're Dick Grayson?
Oh, I hope so. Please,
we can resolve... We don't have to resolve this tonight.
You kind of... Well, who's Jason then?
I'll still retire if that's what it takes.
Well, clearly Chris. Robin. Chris was the angriest of the
Yes!
So, amazing. Ryan, maybe you're Dick Grayson, or maybe you're Damian.
Maybe. I know that that's a huge mantle to place upon me, and I'll try to earn it. I'll go to a trapeze school.
I wish I could draw. I would do a drawing of us, and I'd have you guys in the costumes.
Call it out to the listeners. You got listeners, right?
All right. Well, until Justice League versus Teen Titans and sometime in the spring, I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Ryan.
Or Dick, we haven't decided yet.
Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes. You say sorry just for show. If you live like that, you live with gold.